Today on Real Radio.
The Lord might be calling you to somewhere, to anywhere, so much so, I'll bank on it. Because tomorrow morning you're going to get up and you're going to go to the mission field that God has established for you at this point in time in your life. Could be DuPont, could be Baxter, could be the little cleaning service down the street. God has provided that for you. So with that as a introduction, I want you to hang on and listen, and we're going to need to cover some major ground today because it's very, very serious stuff, but it's also very exciting. When we're called into the ministry, which we all are if we're believers, is it a drag? Is it a burden? Is it a bummer? Listen, it ought to be the greatest experience of your life. It really is when God's in it.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. Needless to say, this New Testament narrative is quite fascinating. Even motion pictures have been made using this biblical account as the basis. One reason that it is so riveting is that the news of the risen Messiah, the Redeemer, spread from a small corner of the Roman Empire to the known and civilized world in a very short time. Well, now we arrive at chapter 13, where the gospel goes to the world. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Acts chapter 13, Acts 14, really on to the end of the book. We start now the last phase of the entire study of the book of Acts, and that is the gospel going to the world. Jesus said in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He said to us there, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this morning in our study, we're going to see the gospel now go to the ends of the earth. And so we're going to want you to take notes and to be ready and to keep a couple things in mind. First of all, the scripture declares in Mark 16, 15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He made the decree to us in the book of Acts that we are to go. Go even to the lengths of the uttermost parts of the earth. If you are like me, when you hear the word missions, I used to, because God changed my heart recently, but I used to just say, hey, forget it. Missions, it's just not my thing. I love the Lord, I love church, I love God, but missions, I don't think so. And a lot of us, listen, sending organizations tell us that out of the 100% people who come in to be nurtured and to be schooled for missions, less than 3% ever make it to the field. They get discouraged, they give up, they find out that maybe it's not what they should be doing. But we get in our eyes and in our mind this grand view that when we mention the word missions, it must be running around in a sweltering, God-forsaken jungle with bugs and snakes and guys running around with grass skirts and bones in their noses. It could mean that. And thank God there are those, and you need to thank God there are those, who the Lord has sent to those places. There are those who have been sent to places like Chino, Chino Hills, Pomona, Los Angeles. And we think, well, oh, that's ridiculous. What do you mean? What's the big deal? Ah, you see, it's no problem to us because we're comfortable by association. I got a postcard, or I saw a postcard that a brother got in this fellowship, and this brother is ministering to the Lord in paradise, as far as I'm concerned. I looked at one picture of that postcard, and I told the guy, I said, hey, anybody can be a Christian in a place like this. Look at this. Beautiful beaches and trees and green and beautiful and trees all over. It takes a Christian man, a Christian woman to be a Christian in a place like this, if you ask me. Kind of hard, isn't it? Lord's calling me to Maui. You're wrong. The Lord's calling me to Maui. The Lord's calling us. The Lord might be calling you to somewhere, to anywhere. So much so, I'll bank on it. Because tomorrow morning you're going to get up and you're going to go to the mission field that God has established for you at this point in time in your life. Could be IBM, could be DuPont, could be Baxter, could be the little cleaning service down the street. God has provided that for you. So with that as an introduction, I want you to hang on and listen. And we're going to need to cover some major ground today because it's very, very serious stuff. But it's also very exciting. When we're called into the ministry, which we all are if we're believers, is it a drag? Is it a burden? Is it a bummer? Listen, it ought to be the greatest experience of your life. It really is when God's in it. So in your Bible, open to Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, and we'll read on down to verse 12. It says, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene and Menon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to do.' Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them and sent them away, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an excellent man. And this man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. And then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, 'O fool of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time.' And immediately a dark mist fell upon him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord." We're talking about missions here. You see, prior to this moment here, Herod, we've been studying him, different Herod. The Herod that had come against Peter and James, cutting James's head off, taking Peter, putting him in prison, planning to kill him. The Herod that we've been studying who robbed glory from God was Herod Agrippa the First. He's now dead. At the removal of that opposition through Herod, God began to work. We now pick up in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, where God begins to use the church to meet the spiritual needs of the world. The church will be sent out from Antioch as an evangelistic ministry that will eventually touch the world. I don't know how this affects you. I guess when it comes biblically, I'm very sentimental. I don't know if you'd have to ask my wife, I guess, if I'm sentimental or not. I don't really know. But when it comes to the scripture, it kind of freaks me out that right now on your lap is open to a page of the Bible, Acts chapter 13, that the record that you have in your lap before you is the very reason why you're sitting here right now born again. Because from Antioch, the church was born on the evangelistic scale. Yes, it had started in Jerusalem, but it didn't get very far. Some 15 years now had gone by, and they only made it as far as Palestine. Now, in the area of Antioch, God is going to use a couple of guys to take the gospel to the world all the way to where you're sitting right now. Acts chapter 13 is the reason why you're born again right now. And I love that kind of stuff. That's exciting to me because you know what it says? You know, we come in here, you know, on a cold day like it is, and you know, we might be even kind of sleepy or whatever. We need to realize that if God started with a couple of five guys like this in the book of Acts 2,000 years ago, what does he want to do now? Are you willing to respond to what God might want to do? Some of you will say, yes, I am willing. Then you ought to get ready for the most exciting thing in your life to ever happen. A brother told me yesterday, he says, man, you know, I know you really got it rough. I go, I really don't have it rough. I don't have it rough. When I used to commute down the 55 freeway, that's rough. I don't have it rough. You mean the demands or the pull? Yeah, you know what? There's a time when it's like, oh, okay, well, who cares about sleep? But the reward is so awesome. I've been made to do what I'm doing. God's called me. I know that. But for years I found in my life, what am I to do? I felt within my heart God wanted to do something with my life. And just when I thought I was doing that very thing, God pulled me out of it and caused this thing to happen. He wants to use us. You cannot. Listen, Christian. And if you're not a Christian this morning, we're glad that you're here. Just listen up, because it has to do with all of the other people sitting around you this morning. You're off the hook today. Christian, the greatest thing that we can be doing now that we know we are to glorify God is to fulfill the call that He's placed upon our lives. You might be saying, I don't know what I'm called to do. Well, hang on to your seats, and you'll get a little bit of instruction on how to find out. We're going to look at really four things in relation to God's blessing when the gospel goes around the world. Then we're going to look at four other things that deal with opposition when God wants the gospel to go around the world. And the reason why we're going to shove this all into one study is because you can't have a blessing from God without getting opposition from the enemy. Those of you who want to serve God, you better be ready. The enemy is going to come against you. And here's the trick. Not only is that true, but your Father in heaven is going to allow it to be so, which already gives you the victory once He knows. If you want to be used, then you need to get ready for attack. If you want blessings, you're going to get buffeted. Now, who doesn't want a blessing? Man, I get up in the morning and I pray, oh, God, bless me. God, I want you to bless me. God, I need your mercy. God, I need your grace. God, I need your goodness. God, I need your favor. God, I need your love. Why do I pray that? Because I'm going to run up against things that are not lovely, things that are not gracious, things that are not merciful, and I'm going to need Him. And so do you. Your mission field is already happening. You are there. Tomorrow morning, you'll get up and you'll go to it. After we say amen today, and you'll get to your family or to your car or to your home, that's your mission field as well. And the Lord's plan for your life is to be successful at winning others to Christ. Jesus says in Mark 16:15, and He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we need to do. And it is not a burden. It is a joy. It's not a drag. It's not an obligation. It is a wonderful call that God has placed upon our lives to do. You may be a sender or you may be a goer, but God has caused you to be involved. Real quick, Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. If that's true, if God the Father sent His Son into the world, if God hates sin, you know, He doesn't love the sin of the world. It says that He loves the world. That's Mr. and Mrs. You. God loves you. He hates your sin. That's why God can look at a murder and say, I love you. I hate what you did. Absolutely won't tolerate it, but I love you. You know, you and I get that skewed. We connect what the person is doing with who they are. God is able to decipher what they have done and who they are. They're lost and they need the love of God. They need the love of Jesus. You and I will be successful ministers for Christ when we realize that the sin that is in our lives and the lives of those people outside this door plagues them and hounds them, just like it did with us when we were bound up. And they need to be liberated. And God is going to liberate them through you. And that's the will of the Lord, and that is good news. But the fact of the matter is, if God hates sin, we should hate sin. If God sent His Son into the world, then you and I should send His Son into the world. As far as I'm concerned, the Bible makes it very clear, this is not an option. It is a command for those of us who are disciples of Christ. First thing in your notes, jot down in your note-taking, A. In A, we're going to look at when the gospel goes to the world, you can expect blessings. You can expect it. Number one, where will the blessings come? I want to know. If God has promised to bless in the spreading of his word and bless the church that does that, where will the blessings come? Look at verses 1 through 3. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, or however you say his name, it's a weird name, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. You got five guys. Verse 1, where's the blessings going to come if you have a church that's going to reach out to the community? If it's across the street or around the world, listen to this. First of all, by who God brings into the church. Watch this. The word prophet in the Greek language is the word that means to foretell publicly, not to foretell, not to necessarily say that tomorrow's going to be Monday, but it means to hold forth the word of God. It's to stand there and proclaim the word, to be a prophet. In fact, by me quoting scripture right now, I am in a sense prophesying the word out to you. To prophet is to foretell the word. Verse 1 says that there were certain prophets in the church. By the way, an example today, I think the true example on the earth today on a large scale is none other than Billy Graham, God's prophet. It is to be able to speak publicly with extreme effectiveness is all built into that word. It's to be able to open the mouth and people listen and make decisions. That is the gift that Billy Graham has. He's a prophet of God. He's a heralder of the word. Look at the other word in verse 1. It says teachers. The word in the Greek means to be an instructor, or to one who points the way, or a master of the path, or a master of the direction. They've already studied. They know how to get others to not only be sitting, you know, there in the church, but to learn. The evangelist goes out, Greg Laurie, Harvest Crusades, or Billy Graham and his crusades, and gets people interested. They may or may not make a decision at that moment. But what happens is God used them to affect within the heart of the hearer. The hearer gets up and maybe comes to a church and sits down and says in their mind or in their heart, I'd like to know more about this Jesus. Either born again or not, they begin to experience out of the word of God, verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, how it is to be a Christian. That's what the teacher's all about. So if you've got Billy Graham as an evangelist, you might have Chuck Smith as a teacher, and he's world famous for being the teacher. Billy Graham has even mentioned that Chuck Smith is his teacher. There's a beautiful handshake. One's an evangelist, one's a teacher. Where will the blessings come if we're going to be a worldwide church to reach the world with the gospel? It will come, first of all, within the church. God will provide people to meet the need. And this is something that you don't get in the English, but in the Greek, and I don't want to belabor this, but you see the first three names, Barnabas, Simeon, and Lucius? What is understood in the Greek language is this. Those three guys are the prophets within the church. They are the certain prophets. You see the last two names, Manion and Saul? The Greek language implies, as you study it, that they are the teachers. And that's kind of fun, because Barnabas was one who was known to speak publicly. Every time Saul spoke publicly, something happened, and it wasn't usually very good. But Paul was extremely effective in his teaching ministry. And so there's a pattern that we're seeing right here. There's prophets and there's teachers. I love that, because there's a beautiful cross-cultural staff going on here. I want you to hang on to your seats. I personally am absolutely blessed with what's here behind the scenes. Barnabas is a Jew. Hebrew, a Levite, born again, found Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he's walking with the Lord. God's using him. Simon, it says there, called Niger. The word Niger in Latin means black. He's from North Africa. He's a black man who loves God and has been born again. You've got a Jew, you've got a black man. Lucius is from Cyrene, the scripture says, from North Africa. He's born again. He's a Christian too. You got three guys who are prophets who are Christians, and they're all different in their skin color. They're all different in their background. We're talking a real church here. Look at Menean. He's a Greek. He's a man of honor, a man of power. He's a stepbrother of Herod Antipas, by the way, who mocked Jesus at his trial. He's born again, turned Christian. He's a Greek. How these guys went to lunch and agreed on where they were going to go eat, I have no idea. Must have been the Lord. And then you've got Saul, who's Paul the Apostle. A Pharisee, a Jew, a Hebrew, a Christian killer, born again, serving the Lord now. What a crew. Where's your staff? There they are. Look like a rainbow. They're all different colors. Well, where did you go to school? Paul the Apostle stood up. I went to the University of Tarsus. I've got degrees a mile long. My personal tutor was Gamaliel, one of the greatest, or if not the greatest mind in all of the kingdom. I'm a smart guy. I've been born and raised in the culture of the Jews. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Pharisee, circumcised the eighth day. Concerning keeping the law, no one's come close to the way I've been able to keep the law. But besides all that, I count that as absolutely zip. I'm a born-again Christian now. Well, Simeon, where are you from? I'm from North Africa. I'm a black man. I heard the gospel. I've received Jesus Christ, quite possibly, through the ministry of Thomas, by the way. Thomas went to North Africa. All along the way, you got all these different guys, and God is building a church, and he's going to use them to reach you and I. Isn't it awesome? At some point in time, you and I came to faith in Jesus Christ, all because of these five crazy guys. They were all different, and they decided Jesus was the most important thing in their life. They're going to get along no matter what color or what culture they're from, and they're going to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, that absolutely turns me on with love for you and for the Lord. What a neat group of guys. Colossians 3:11 says, having put on Jesus Christ, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, I think that's where I fit in, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Oh man, that's great.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Gospel Goes to the World, a mini-series taken from the first 12 verses of the book of Acts chapter 13, which means that we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. From time to time, we encourage you to get in touch with us here at Real Radio, if for no other reason than to simply give us your feedback. Remember, the message doesn't have to be a long one. Here's one from our own backyard in Southern California. I listen to Pastor Jack's teaching on K-Wave 107.9 on a regular basis and have been truly blessed by them. Please don't stop what you're doing. God has sent you into my life for a reason. I boast in the Lord as I know that he will not be mocked and always has a plan. I'm hard-headed a lot of the time, which is very frustrating, but find myself wanting to please God more and more. Pray for me as I continue to pray, and keep up the good work. Your reward will be worth it. It is divine, from above, and not earthly, and will not fade away. Love, Trina. Well, thank you, Trina. You see, messages like these go a long way here at Real Radio. And if you'd like to send a message to Pastor Jack, you can do so in more than one way. Call, click, or write. Our number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or the traditional way, write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Or simply email us by visiting realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.